that out of the way while we're on that theme. It had nothing to do with my message, none whatsoever. But it's great to be back in the East. Oh, that's up and running. And last week we were in the North doing Easter service there. Turn over to Matthew 20. And make sure I turn this on. Here we go. Boom. I have a big thank you. For what, you say? My wife's 40th birthday party yesterday. And several of you showed up at the party and brought gifts and sentiments. And I want to speak for my wife that she was very encouraged. It was a happy home last night. Happy, happy day this morning. The sun was shining too. And life doesn't get much better than that. So from my wife and I and the Lucases, thank you so much for everybody who wished my wife a happy birthday yesterday. And, she is very encouraged. Actually, to be honest with you, one of the costs that she had to count when she came to the UK was actually not celebrating her 40th birthday in America, where obviously she was born, where all her friends are. She could even have her mother fly in, her sister and everything. But obviously she sacrificed that to be on the mission. But I think last night God encouraged her in a great way. And the sisters and brothers that were there, it was well appreciated. So give yourself a round of applause. There you go. Who was there? Thank you. Okay, a quick mission update. Some people always ask us, so what's going on with Norwich? Boy. Pray for me. So this is us. I think I told you that Martin and Luwena are on the mission team. Yes. I can fit the mission team in my Ford Escort. I'm excited. And so that was a couple of months ago. Just a couple of updates. We have our next pre-mission weekend on 20 and 22nd of May. So we already have a couple of people already signed up and want to go from different parts of the church, which is exciting. So obviously if you want to participate or just see if you're interested in or seriously interested in, let me just put it that way, not touring. I've never been to Norwich and I want to come. No. It's a fine city, but that's what it said. When you drive into Norwich, on the sign it says, a fine city. You just want to see the sign, don't you? I can tell. So on May 22nd, May 28th, I have a friends reunion. Already booked the hall and have two of my friends, the woman, if you would, I've known her since I was 8 years old. We went to first school together. Nelson Street First School. Yes. So that should be fun. Probably, God willing, we have about 30, 40 friends show up for that. Some people I haven't seen for 30 years. Pretty intense. Then in June, we're going to Edinburgh, Dublin, and Paris. Be busy. So this may be the last time you see us. Well, you may see us on 15th of May. Then we have our last pre-mission weekend on 24th and 26th. So if you can't make it May, you can come on June. And then in July, we'll be moving to Norwich. Thank you, honey. Do you sense the excitement? And we have our inaugural service August 14th. So that's the schedule here, pretty busy. The title of my message today is In the Heat of the Day. And if you want a copy of the notes, because I was talking to a sister last night, she said, you go through everything so quickly, I'm trying to write everything down. That's the reason why I put my email address, so you don't have to get cramps in your hands or break a nail. I'm trying to be sensitive. But we're going to do something today that we haven't done in 10 years. I said 10 with a T. We're going to have a prayer response. Anybody remember a prayer response? 3. We're in trouble. You must understand, what is a prayer response? I will tell you. First and foremost, what we're going to do is go through the message. And one of the things, as we go through the message today, I want you to personally reflect on what this message means to me. Secondly, well, I'm going to give some questions at the end. Sounds like school, doesn't it? And what I want you to do is write down a prayer request for yourself. Okay? And then we'll have some songs, we'll have some people up here, and come up and hand in your prayer request. Okay? And then Mike and Julie will pray over them either tonight or sometime this week. All right? Just trying to, you know, we've got to get God and prayer and response. And I appreciate Aubrey's message. It's just about being weak and being vulnerable. And I think the only way God can work is when we're humble and sober about where we're at before the Lord. Can I get an amen to that? I'll bring this back up at the end. So pay attention. So let's turn over to Matthew 20. I actually preached this message in the southeast a couple of weeks ago. They were actually studying out Matthew. And lo and behold, I got Matthew chapter 20. And we're going to look at the parable of the workers in the vineyard. It says in verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard." So what is this parable all about? The what? The kingdom of God. Because sometimes we forget that and we start reading the story and we forget the premise. Okay? So what is it all about? Kingdom of God. Okay, great. We're moving along. It says in verse 2, "He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing." So those outside the kingdom were doing what? Nothing. Sometimes we think we're doing something outside of the kingdom. You're actually doing absolutely nothing. "Well, I'm busy. I've got this job going on, that job. I'm making money. I've got my family. I'm going to school." But outside the kingdom, you're doing what? Nothing. Absolutely. Kind of hurts, doesn't it? And it says in verse 4, "He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again, and about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and he did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around." If we're not in the kingdom, what are we doing? Standing around, doing nothing. "Here all day long, doing nothing, because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last one hired, going on to the first." So obviously he paid off the people that were hired last. Okay, we'll come back to that bit. It says, "The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received their denarius. So when those came and were hired first, they expected to receive more." Why were they expecting to receive more? Because they were there longer. Okay? It says in verse 10, "So when those came who were hired first expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and they made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work in the what? In the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'Friend, I'm not being unfair to you. Didn't I agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give a man who was hired last the same as I gave you? Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first and the first will be last. Let's look at the comparisons here, because this parable, even though it's about a vineyard, it's really about the what? The kingdom. Okay, great. We have an owner. We have a foreman. He goes out several times. We see a number of people standing around doing what? Nothing. We're warming up. I like this. We're warming up. Slowly but surely. This is good stuff. They were given a denarius. They were obviously working in the heat of the day. Obviously, some of those work longer. He paid the later workers first. And you've got to ask yourself, why is that? And obviously, what we see is the difference between the same people working for the same amount. Some of them were happy, and some of them were disappointed. I'll come back to the scripture in a little bit. Then the owner, we have God. Can we all agree on that? Amen. It's good. I like this crowd. A lot better than last week. And the foreman could be Jesus. I put a little question mark there. You know, because Jesus obviously does God's bidding, because he sent the foreman out there, you know. Obviously, God wants everybody to be saved. It's amazing that God went out the first hour, the third hour, the sixth hour, even the 11th hour to find people in, to get people to work in his vineyard. God wants everybody to be saved. Can I get an amen to that? And ultimately, if people are outside the kingdom, they live a purposeless life and they're lost. We don't like to use that word, but there is a reality of people being in the kingdom, in the vineyard, and not. I don't make the rules. I'm just reading the text. Don't hate me. A denarius is the promise of salvation. What are we doing? We're working. Those in the kingdom are working in the kingdom. And then at the end of our day, we expect what from the Lord? Salvation. Thank you, honey. My wife's really into this. What is the heat of the day? Trials. Challenges. Can anybody relate to that? I got a big amen on that one. Salvation. Trials. Yeah. Pray for me. I mean, those who work longer are older Christians. Ain't all of us who have been around 10, 15, 20 years gone through some heat? Can I get an amen to that, Mike? We're still standing? Maybe a little bit scorched? A little bit sunburned? Some of us are crispier than others? But we're still going. Thank you, Jesus. And this is a kicker. A lot of times when I get a passage, I like to wrestle with it. I say, okay, why did the foreman pay those who were hired last, the denarius, instead of paying those who were hired first, a denarius? Because you get a lot less aggro. Good English word. Can we still use that, aggro? Good job. See, it's coming back to me. I'm making the transition. I'm trying to get away from Ian. Whatever. But I was wondering, I said, why didn't he pay the guys that worked first? Because he could have paid them their denarius. They would have left, and he would have paid the other guys a denarius. No attitudes. But he specifically told the foreman, pay the younger ones first, and the older guy saw it. I think sometimes there's greater tests for those who are older than those who are younger. I'll get into that in a little bit. Does anybody understand this Ezra 3:11-13? It's an interesting, you want to read it? Okay, then let's read it. So sent over there. Because this concept of older and younger people being around, and obviously as we get older in the Lord, going through a lot more, a lot of times it can tarnish our gratitude, our joy, our faith. In Ezra chapter 3, it's right before Nehemiah, it says in verse 11, it says with praise, and they're building, rebuilding the temple here. They just laid the foundation, and, you know, it should have been a time of celebration. And what we see here is mixed emotions. It says, with praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord. He is good. His love to Israel endures forever. And all the people gave great shout of praise to the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and the family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud as they saw the foundation of the temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish between the sounds of the shouts of joy and from the sounds of weeping, because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. I think one of the biggest challenges as we get older, and a lot of us have seen amazing things, that a lot of times we kind of have this spirit of lament. But we don't understand that God is still working. God is still moving. And a lot of times we see, you know, Charles got baptized. Where's Charles? Stand on up, man. Stand on up. Get on up. And you know what? Being around 20 years, you go up and down. A lot of times I know sometimes I've been indifferent about the church and I'm like, why do you want to join this? But he's so fired up. I'm baptized in Jesus. I'm ready to change the world. And we're like, yeah, be zealous. But in a couple of years, you just be like me. Oh, I'm the only one who's been there. Oh, yeah, just me. Oh, yeah, I see you smiling. Yeah, let's go to the next slide. Warning to older Christians. Yeah, you. You're once fired up and grateful. You know? A denarius was enough. Is salvation enough, brothers and sisters? Is it salvation plus a good job, plus a wife, plus money in the bank, plus a new car, plus a home? What is it? What's the plus? Having children? What's the plus? Is a denarius still enough? It was when we got baptized. I think if you ask Charles today, he says, I'm just happy to be in the kingdom. That's all I'm happy about. I'm just happy to be here. But as we get older, it's the plus. God never promised an easy life. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures where it says, come in the kingdom and it's so happy and joyful and we'll just skip along and love the Lord. La-di-da. I don't see that. But somehow we create this utopia in our minds, and when we get there, we see the heat of the day and we start to get discouraged. Ultimately, God does it to test our motives. I already talked about that. It's sad that these people started to complain and grumble against God. They also had this attitude, well, I'm worth more than a denarius, even though that's what they agreed to. It's sad, a lot of us were like Charles. We got baptized, we were fired up with salvation, but somewhere along the line, we have created conditions. thing also, as we get older, it's so funny, even the other day I was talking to somebody and somebody was 27. You know what I called him? A kid. I was leading a group of, I don't know, 300 or 400 at 27. But somebody, when you're 46 and then you look at a 27-year-old, what good can you do? It's sad. As we get older, it's like, you know, even like my wife's birthday party, she's 40, but you know, you're younger than that. You're really the new 30, 20. I put Charles down there. Not only that, as we get older, sometimes we perceive injustices, because this is what these older Christians did, these ones that have been through the heat. They're like, how come they go as much as us? How come they're getting encouraged and I'm not? And I've been around so long. How come he's speaking and I'm not? Why are you up here? You just got here. Go to Norwich. When is he leaving? Pray for me. But if we were, you know what, after a while, you got to look at this text and say, you know what? What was their spirit afterwards? Did they really want to go back after the vineyard, back and work for the same landowner? I doubt it. Let me call it this. See, a lot of times we compare the world to the kingdom, and the kingdom is different than the world. In the world, you have a limited workforce. You've got to put in your CV, and obviously there may only be 2 jobs available for hundreds of applicants. If people are unemployed, you understand this dilemma. Obviously, in the world, we have a pay scale. You get paid by hours. Some of us get paid by salary. You just get a set amount. Make sense? They work you like a dog, and you get a set amount. Great corporate concept. You get paid by experience. You get paid by education. And ultimately, in the world, competition is good. Where you can have employees competing to do the best. Being number one, getting that plaque up on the wall. I remember being the top car salesman. Yes, I was a car salesman. And I also wet the bed. But it's all physical. Stop laughing. The great thing about in the kingdom, all can work. There's no exceptions. Amen to that? All gets the same. That's a good thing. Hours mean nothing. It don't matter if you work the 1 hour, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, or you were there for 12 hours. It doesn't mean a thing. So somebody like Charles, even though he's been baptized a week, he has all the privileges and all the love and honor from God than all of us have been around for 20 plus years. It's a good thing. Experience means nothing. Education means nothing. Attitudes and gratitude. You understand that the kingdom is a vehicle of grace and mercy, and you're just happy to be there, you always have a spirit of gratitude. But once when we get on this side, that's when the attitudes and the competitiveness and everything else starts. And it's spiritual. It's about love and salvation. It's about the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter if you've been baptized a week. He has the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter if you've been around 20 years and 1 week. You have the Holy Spirit. Interesting comparison, isn't it? Warning for non-Christians. Some of us are visiting today. Some of us know that we're not right with God. Let's turn over to this scripture. I'm going to hit everybody today. I'm not missing anybody. I got something about cats and dogs in a little bit. So if you brought your little puppy Fifi, I'm going after her too. Oh, Lord, help me. I already told you to pray. Fast for me. Okay. 1 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, you've got to realize that we're in the last days. Scoffers will come. Scoffers and followers of their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes as it has since the beginning. But they deliberately forgot that long ago God's word and heaven existed, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. Let's jump to verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow to keep his promises, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God wants everybody to repent. And when you look at the parallel between this passage and the one in Matthew 20, God continually wants to go out and get people into his vineyard. He doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants everybody. And some of us may be in our first hour of our calling, and the reality is some of us may be in our 11th hour. I remember when I was coming around to church, considering all the sin that I got into, and especially trying to destroy my girlfriend's faith by taking her out of the church. And some of the things that I did to her at that time, I knew deep down in my soul that Marvin, if you turn your back on the 11th hour of the Lord, he is out in the marketplace. He is calling you into his kingdom. If you turn your back right now, it is it. And I believe that in my heart. So coming from a total agnostic, atheist, unbeliever, pagan, whatever you want to call me, I started studying on a Sunday. No, Monday. And that following Sunday, I was baptized. Because I knew it was 11th hour. I was scared. And some of us are sitting here and come constantly, week after week after week. And I believe the clock is ticking. Because every time when we reject the message of Jesus, it's another hour or another minute that goes by. If you're visiting today, do not block your ears to the calling. Stop standing around and doing nothing. Yes, you're busy, but spiritually, you're standing around doing absolutely nothing. It is time to hear the call into the vineyard. This is big. Are you working today as you did in the first hour? A lot of us got out of the waters of baptism. We shared our faith. We didn't care. Our parents hated us. Our whole family hated us. But we didn't care. But over the years, as the heat has come into our lives, the struggles, the discouragement, we've slowed down. Are you working as hard in this 6th hour, 8th hour, even 11th hour, as you did in the first? Amen? That was my wife's baptism 20 years ago. She's, what, that's 20 years and a, how many days? 10? That's cool, huh? That's me right there. Isn't that me? Like glasses? They're expensive too. Funny, at that time, I was folding my arms. I'm like, what's all this? Yeah. Look at the date. I was skinny then. Still wet the bed. So how many is that? That is 20 years and how many days? 3 days. Me being baptized. That following Monday, after that, that's when I started studying the Bible. That following Sunday, I was baptized. A number of things have happened to us in the kingdom. There's going to be heat in the kingdom. I think that sometimes, you know, I did this message in the South and I was like, what? He was kind of shocked that I would have a list of things, but they've got to realize we've got to be sober that things happen in the kingdom. We can't be surprised that nothing happens in the kingdom and everything's so happy and joyful and we love each other. It doesn't happen. We're sinners. I've hurt people. I went to Boston and apologized for the pulpit. Maybe the, you know, people out there that I've hurt or was harsh to or didn't listen, didn't love them the way Jesus did. Actually, some people came up and said, Marvin, that was so great you said that. And they said, I have attitudes with you. Because some of the things that you did and said. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. We've had so many friends that have left. My wife was looking at our pictures last night of our wedding. You know, everybody in my wedding party is no longer faithful. Even my best man. That hurts. We were in the ministry. We had no food. It was totally God. I mean, my wife doesn't really remember this. I remember once. And it's hard, tough when you're the provider and saying, got no food, got no money. I mean, we used to go to restaurants and everybody would eat and we would just have water. It's tough going to a restaurant and watching everybody eating that, them ribs, nachos and cheese, cheesecake with strawberries, chocolate gâteau. We've been laid off in the church. That's tough. Just imagine coming home one day. You both have jobs and in the same day, both of you don't have jobs. What do you do? Some with autism, since we've been in the church. Injustices. We can go on and on. We can go to the second row and start crying. Yes. The R word. So funny, being interracial, a lot of times you're not accepted by the whites or the blacks. Well, you're yellow. You're kind of in the middle. Know what I'm talking about, Mikey? Should we hug each other? That can happen. Times of discouragement. Wrestling with what God's will is. You know, just times of... My wife's seen me at my best, not my worst. She said, you know, she's seen me... Pulling out my hair. What is God's purpose? What's God's will? What is God doing? Well, what are we doing? And ultimately selling everything and being here. That's kind of self-imposed heat. This is us 20 years later, still going strong. Actually, this is taken at the same place where we were baptized. We were baptized not over the pier, but down there on the beach. I was in Los Angeles. The question is a denarius still enough for you today? It's gone. A lot of times we have attitudes about the work in the church, and work in the vineyard. Sometimes we can say, we're too old. Sometimes we say, we've done our time. It's time for people like Charles and Lamont. Okay, you need a sacrifice. You need to give up everything. You need to do the suitcase challenge. And you singles, we've done our time. We've preached. We've served. We've ushered. We've done everything. Now it's your turn. Because I'm done. Because we're older, we've got to focus on family now. That's what we need to do. Because that's for the young people. This mission stuff is for the young people. A lot of times we compare ourselves to others. Not to Jesus, but to others. And complacency and comfort kicks in. You know what I mean? Over the years, we've had many reasons to settle. But brothers and sisters, I'm still dreaming, still sacrificing, still loving the lost, still willing to go anywhere, give up everything, still working in the vineyard for Jesus, despite the heat. Satan always gives us so many reasons to stop. So many. But we haven't reached our ultimate goal. That means to be with our Lord. A denarius is still enough, still grateful. So I don't know where you're at today. We looked at a number of things. You literally, let's just go through the prayer response today. One, reflect on the message personally. Okay? Two, examine the questions. I'm going to come to that in a little bit. Write down your prayer requests and put your name on it. Put your name on it so we can pray for you specifically. Come up and hand them in. And Mike and Julie will pray for the women. Julie will pray for the women. Mike will pray for the men. And also, I'll let you specify somebody else. You may say, well, I want this brother or this sister to pray for me. Okay? But you put it on a piece of paper. Just put on the front of it, you fold it and say, can, you know, Andy pray for me? All right? Got it? There are the questions. Those in the kingdom. Who's in the kingdom? Put your hand up. Amen. Put your two hands up. The kingdom. In the vineyard. Yeah. Big up, big up. Am I working with the same spirit as the first hour? That's your first question if you're in the kingdom. Okay? The second one is, has the heat got to me? What happened? What has diminished your passion? What has diminished? Sometimes it may just be a combination of things. Am I still grateful? Is it still salvation plus? Am I still grateful for the denarius? And finally, I have four questions for those in the kingdom. What could I do in the vineyard today? Be solution oriented. What can I do today to be more productive in the kingdom of God? Amen? Got that? Those who are not in the kingdom, I want to ask you to raise your hands. But I think your conscience is working on you. Amen. I appreciate that. I got a hand. I got a number of hands. All the teens are up. Come on, teens. Big up, big up. Am I urgently seeking the kingdom of God? Am I aggressively going after it? Number first. Do I view my life as doing nothing? That's sobering. Especially if you got it all together. Are you doing nothing? Could this be my 11th hour call? As I told you, in my conversion, I honestly felt that I was in the 11th hour, and if I constantly turned my back and closed my eyes, my ears, and my heart to God, This could be your 11th hour right now. And finally, what can I personally do to be in the vineyard or the kingdom of God? Amen? So let's have a prayer, and then I'm going to have the singers come on up, and then we're going to have, then you can write down, and then there'll be some couples up here, you can give them your thing. So let's have a prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much just for this message today. I really appreciate your scriptures. I appreciate people having them just humbled by people who want to listen today. Honored and humbled by you using me as a vehicle today to get this message out. And I just really pray that your word will not fall on deaf ears, that we really search our hearts, those who have been in the church. Are we really working as we did the first hour? And those who are obviously visiting today or know that they're not right with God, that they would certainly look deep in their hearts and say, look, is this the 11th hour call? Is enough enough? And this is my moment to really get my life turned in a different way and get into the vineyard of God. God, I just really pray, God, that you, even as we sing songs, that you will soften the hearts and help them respond in kind. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As the song leaders lead the next song, then if you do have your prayer request, please come to the front and just hand those in to one of the ushers, Wally. Just to clarify, the reason why Marvin said that Mike and Julie will be praying through the prayer request is in case any of your requests are of a sensitive or confidential nature. That's the reason why. Right?
Humble yourself.